Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Maze Pants, Maze Pantalones in Español. We are here for your listening pleasure to talk about all things Big Ten. Joining us tonight will be LBS of The Only Colors, the outstanding Michigan State blog from SB Nation. Joining me, as always, is Pat Vent, the writer emeritus of Black Heart Gold Pants. I'll try to make it sound fancy. How you doing, Pat?
Not bad. How you doing tonight, Dave?
Doing well, my man. It's week two. It's hate week. You have Purdue hate week going on. I have Michigan State hate week going on.
Your week actually involves hate.
It does. It does. And hate is refreshing. It is invigorating, if you will.
It cleanses the soul.
It does. It's very good.
You know what's even better than real hate week? Ironic hate week.
Ah, yes. Irony can be pretty ironic sometimes.
Yes.
It's glorious. So how is hate week going with Purdue right now?
Well, we posted the legendary clip of Kirk Ferentz shouting F-bombs at the press corps, which didn't actually happen. there is no hate for Purdue. This is the sad part of it for us. We don't have anything to really work with here. So we have to generate a rivalry from scratch, much as our guests did with Penn State 15, 20 years ago. So, you know, we have to get a trophy that's clearly made by a high school home ec or high school shop class with little trinkets on it and start passing that around.
Yeah, we have similar problems with Illinois. They really hate us, and we rarely acknowledge that they exist.
They do hate you.
And I haven't figured that out yet. I just really don't. A buddy of mine that I went to law school with told me, we were watching the game together, and this is back when Michigan just stomped Illinois, and he's getting mad, and I'm just like, dude, this happens all the time. Why are you so pissed? And he's just like, Michigan. I asked him, like, why do you hate us so much? You don't even register to us. He's like, because you win everything. And then I looked at him like, I don't really win that much. I was like, no, you do, compared to us. And I'm like, I guess, but yeah, he couldn't really explain it. They just hate us, and I don't know why.
Well, compared to Illinois, like, everybody wins a lot of stuff.
I know. I don't get it.
Minnesota wins a lot compared to Illinois. They don't win anything. By the way, for our listeners, we're recording on Tuesday night. I'm watching Middle Tennessee State and Troy. Troy's up 28-7, but Middle Tennessee State has their quarterback that was supposed to play against Minnesota but was hurt. If this kid had played, there's no way Minnesota beats him.
Really?
There's zero way that they could – they would never tackle this guy. Yeah.
Denard Light, or is it Cam Newton Light?
He's very much Cam Newton.
There's your question right now. If you're a Big Ten team, do you want Denard Robinson? Do you want Cam Newton? Or do you want what's his name, Taylor Martinez out in Nebraska? If you could pick from those three, who would you pick?
Can I pick Ricky Stanzi?
No, you can't.
I would take Denard if I could also change coordinators. I mean, quite frankly, our offensive staff doesn't know what to do with a guy like Denard Robinson. We make him receiver. but
hey, that's what Lloyd Garstaff did. That's why they wanted to hire Kirk Ferentz.
Yeah, exactly. You guys would have a nice life with Chris Winkie as quarterback, and Ryan Mallett might still be there if Kirk was there. But if we could change our staff to have somebody who's creative enough to use him, Denard Robinson's the perfect weapon.
We're quite happy to have him. Now, if only I could get the magic that translated with him on offense to translate over to our defense.
Yes, it has been rough. 35 from Indiana this week. What did you take away from that game?
A lot of tears, hypertension, a restraining order or two.
Nice.
You know, just the normal things. Oh, God, it was awful, man. It's one of those games where Michigan is about to go up 21-7 and basically put the game on ice before the second quarter is even broken yet. And in true Michigan fashion, what do we do? Fumbled on the one-yard line.
Right.
A center quarterback exchange in the I set, which we almost never run. So it's just, you know, I mean, to their credit, this is the same thing that happened against Illinois last year when Michigan was about to go up 21-0 or 21-7 when Roy Rountree got tackled from behind, fumbled out of the back of the end zone. Illinois goes down and then goes on to score the next 35 points and blow Michigan out in a season that they finished 3-9. But to Michigan's credit, they didn't fold the tent up. The offense kept playing relatively well, and you know, we pulled out a victory that under normal circumstances we probably wouldn't have. And you know, I mean, I'll be honest, man, Indiana is a really good offense. I you know, we'll probably get some disagreement later in the show, but I think that's one of the best offenses in the Big Ten, if not the country. I mean, those guys can throw the football around, and Ben Chappell is the real deal.
Yeah, and I agree with you completely on that, and I always find it funny to go back to – there was a Doc Saturday post a couple years ago that broke down all the Big Ten quarterbacks, and he had put Ben Chappell in, like, the unredeemable, terrible quarterback category, and clearly that's not the case anymore. He might have been at that time, without a doubt, but they've given him some real weapons on the outside to throw to, and he takes full advantage of it. That little pistol formation that they use – really gives him, you know, full sight and full complement of weapons to throw to. So they look excellent in offense. Their defense is absolutely atrocious.
Crap. It's actually worse than Michigan's, even though the stats don't show it.
Yeah, and I think you're probably right.
That defense is absolutely god-awful. But the other thing is, too, is, I mean, I can't think of an offense that's anywhere near – that they faced up until that point that's anything near like Michigan's. You know, maybe going into this game with Ohio State, maybe Indiana has something to go from because the Ohio State system is fairly similar to Michigan's, but they don't have to deal with Nard Robbins because Terrell Pryor's quad's all screwed up and he's not going to be running as much. So maybe in some strange way that game helps Indiana when they go into Columbus. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I think right now if you're Indiana, you're just trying to survive last week and this week. Get a win against Arkansas State and hope to split Illinois and Northwestern in the 2 weeks after that. They played, you said they hadn't played anybody quite like Michigan at this point. They'd played nothing. I mean, they had two winless 1A teams and a 1AA with one win. So to say they played nothing is almost an understatement. They played less than nothing. It was basically high school.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, but you know, hey, they do have weapons. They can put some points on the board. If they can get a couple things to break their way, they might upset somebody down the line.
Before I get into the obvious questions about how much money you guys raised, which I do want to know, was there anything this weekend that really either A, surprised you, or B, confirmed everything you thought before?
The surprise to me was just how easy Michigan State handled Wisconsin. A 10-point win that should have probably been closer to 20. Wisconsin looked kind of like the old Wisconsin.
They looked like Minnesota.
In a bad Bielema week years, you know. Not particularly sharp, not particularly well prepared. Michigan State probably should have won by more than they did, and they look like a legitimate contender, and if I were you guys, I would be more than a little nervous going into this week.
I think everyone has to be. I mean, Michigan State's a legitimate team. This is what we were talking about before going into the season when we did the first podcast, is Michigan State is a legitimate team, and it all depended on that offensive line. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's going to be a point-a-minute kind of game, and if Michigan can outscore them, then they win. I mean, it's just simple math, but you know, I don't know how this one's going to turn out. Michigan State's defensive line is not very good. Their linebackers are incredible, and their secondary is adequate, so... we'll see how it happens. What about Iowa made you happy this week, other than the obvious score?
It was such a classic Iowa-Penn State game. Going into this week, we kind of had a consensus among at least the writers at BHGP that this was going to kind of be like the 0-3 game, where Iowa was probably the better team, and that it would be kind of that boa constrictor game that they love to play, where you could get ahead by a couple scores early, and then just run out the clock forever. And that's pretty much what Iowa did. I mean, they were up 17-0 without really breaking a sweat, and then essentially just ran the ball three times and punted the rest of the way because there was no way that Penn State was going to get back in the game. You know, when you have a two-touchdown lead and Penn State can't get a first down, it makes it very easy to just kind of, you know, let it all play out. Ferentz isn't one to run the score up on a whole lot of people as it is. I think Brewster might be the only exception to that. He's certainly not one to run it up against Jopa, and so I think once halftime hit, they took the foot off the accelerator a little bit, which said take nothing away from the Penn State defense, which played pretty well in the second half.
Yeah.
But they weren't really taking shots downfield anymore either or doing anything that was too creative. They're happy to get to the bye week. You know, this team is pretty dinged up. They've got some serious issues to work out, especially in the running game. Robinson is great as a back, but no one knows how long he can hold up as a real workhorse. And so while Ferentz usually likes to schedule, you know, a full slate back-to-back weeks, no bye weeks, just run it straight through. You know, even he's admitted he's pretty happy that the bye week came when it did this year because they could really use the help.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a good thing for Iowa to try and get healthy and at least give Adam Robinson a chance to rest. When you've got one back that you can really count on. Is Das Pakibom available yet?
Pocky, they think, will probably be ready for Michigan in 2 weeks. Still coming off a concussion. They're, you know, precautious about that for obvious reasons. And but they think that he could possibly be a fill-in by Michigan time. Although, to be completely honest, I don't know if he's necessarily the second-best back we've got. You know, it was against Ball State. We had a couple, you know, younger guys who played pretty well, who clearly probably have a little bit more inherent talent than the Pocky Bomb. But, you know, we'll see what they end up doing.
Well, I'm hoping that, you know, honestly, that Iowa manages to keep at least one running back healthy so it's not a complete crutch on Richie Stanzi, because that's just not going to end well for anyone.
Well, you know, it's what they did in 04. Ricky might not be Drew Tate of that year, but we'll see what happens if it happens. I'm hoping it doesn't, but, you know, when you're giving Robinson 28 carries, that might be the case. The most entertaining game of the weekend, probably, I mean, aside from Michigan-Indiana, which was a heck of a shootout, bizarre game once again with Northwestern and Minnesota at Minnesota. Northwestern comes away with a one-point win, and what'd you take away from it?
First, Northwestern is very good at making a very bad team look adequate.
Yes.
Second, when Northwestern had to come up with a stop, they did, and it was the exact same thing that happened last year. They just ripped the heart out with an interception on the last play of the game. You know, I don't know. I thought Northwestern should have blown that game wide open, and they didn't. And I think that's just more a team. They got up. They went to sleep. Minnesota played harder than they normally would have because they were down as bad. And I'm sorry, not Northwestern, Minnesota. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just one of those games where Minnesota's eventually going to catch somebody they shouldn't, but I don't know if I can take a whole lot away from it other than Minnesota played hard because they needed to win. They figured this was their best shot, and then Northwestern played down to the level of their competition. So I don't know that you can take a whole lot away from it.
Well, it's classic Northwestern to do that, too. I mean, they haven't really blown anybody out yet, and I'd agree with you completely. They probably should have ran away with this game and just couldn't slam the door.
Well, how many interceptions did they throw in the red zone? Three? I mean, they just turn the ball over too much on stupid throws. I mean, if they don't do that or fumble or all those things, I mean, this is a 20-point win. So, you know, I don't know. I still think. I mean, they're going to crush Purdue this weekend. At least that's my thought. And then they roll into a showdown with Michigan State where they could be 6-0, and Michigan State hopefully will be 5-1. And all hells are going to break loose. Because I think at 6-0, Northwestern fans show up, and then, oh, it's going to get ugly. Because something strange always happens. It's like Halloween Part 6 every time, you know, Michigan State travels to Evanston. Weird things happen.
Yeah. Agree with you completely on that point. The only other game this week involved the one team that is clearly at the top, Ohio State. Does their usual number and slowly dispatches of Illinois at Illinois. This one was close, 14-10 at the end of three, and Ohio State was able to pull away late. I guess the real story, Terrell Pryor had a kind of a – no one's really quite sure how significant leg injury. He's going to play this week. But is there anything we could really take away from this one, or is this just Ohio State being Ohio State?
I think Terrell Pryor may – we were sold on Terrell Pryor early in the year when he played well against Miami. And I think the one thing that we can take away from Miami so far this year is that they're really not that good. The ACC is terrible this year. And, you know, I would equate – I mean, Ja'Cory Harris is basically a black Ricky Stanzi 2 years ago. I mean, he is going to throw a lot of interceptions. He's talented. He's got a great arm. But he's going to throw picks at random times and get his team in trouble. And I don't think that Miami defensive line is as good as people think it is. And Terrell Pryor looked scared against Illinois. There were chunks of time where he got hit and got popped, and he started throwing off that back foot, And maybe he's, I don't know, maybe he's starting to regress as the season goes on. Maybe he's, you know, trying to be more of a pocket passer. I just didn't see, some just didn't seem right with him. I mean, am I off on that?
No, I think you're probably right on that. I think part of that might have been the fact that he took that hit, and he might have been, I don't know. We're going to hate to do dinosaur psychology, but, you know, it might have been trying to avoid getting creamed again. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to say he's regressing it after one game, but it's certainly something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I think Illinois is showing that they're actually a much better team than we thought they were going to be, which is helpful, at least for the Big Ten, because I don't think it's a good thing where you've got three teams or, you know, two teams, three teams at the bottom of the conference that just have no chance of going to a bowl game. Yeah. If they can string something together, I think it's better for everybody. But it looks like the changes that Zook made are actually having some effect. That defense is much, much better. And I think with Steel Chase, or however the hell, Steel Rod, whatever the hell his name is, Steelhoose.
I'm not going to save you here. I'm going to let you keep on going.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep making stuff. The Iron Man, whatever the hell his name is. He's a decent quarterback. I think he's going to turn into a very good quarterback over the course of his career. And if they can somehow generate offense, that defense is going to keep him a lot of games.
Well, with that, we might as well bring in our guest.
Joining us tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and again, I should never say ladies because there are no women out there. Joining us tonight is LVS from The Only Colors, SBN's outstanding Michigan State blog. If you haven't been there, you have to. You got to start reading these guys on a regular basis. The Only Colors has the absolute best basketball coverage SBN has to offer from the college sites. And on top of that, they actually write some really great stuff on football. LVS, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be here, guys.
LVS, Pat from Blackheart Gold Pants. I want to commend Dave, first of all, on not taking a shot at you during Michigan State Week. The hate isn't quite there yet.
Oh, give it time.
Just give it time. It'll brew.
It's early. It's early in the week. Well, before you guys get into throwing haymakers at each other for this week, let's talk about last week a little bit, because Michigan State had one of its biggest wins in quite some time, taking out Wisconsin at home. 10-point win, and quite frankly, the margin probably should have been higher. What did you see from that game that gave you hope for the rest of the season?
Well, I think that there's a ton to be hopeful about after that game. You know, everyone thought that, you know, I think what we're basing our takeaway from the game on is how good everyone thinks Wisconsin is going to be, and so I think that it's fair to point out to begin with that Wisconsin maybe a tad overrated. You know, they haven't performed all that well against the decent competition that they've faced, and they beat up on Austin Peay, but I'm not particularly impressed by that. But, you know, still, they're a talented, good football team, and quite honestly, Michigan State took them to the woodshed. I mean, it was a 10-point win, but outgained them by 150 yards. The offense was very, very balanced and very good. It had a lot of success both throwing the ball and running the ball, and the rushing game has really been a revelation for MSU this season. And quite honestly, the thing that's most encouraging about it going forward is that the defense played better than it has in ages. It was a complete defensive performance. The first 10 points of the game that Wisconsin scored really came from turnovers and the good field position that resulted from those turnovers. But aside from that, the defense played fantastic. Our secondary, which was just atrocious last season, really stepped up and against a good Wisconsin passing offense. And, you know, we were the first team to hold John Clay to less than 100 yards in almost a year. So I think the defense is the big point to take away from this. And if we play at the level that we did last Saturday throughout the season, I think that we're legitimate contenders for the Big Ten championship.
Well, speaking of being contenders, I think one of the more important things is, I mean, you have to have good coaching. And obviously, Mark D'Antonio has brought a lot of stability, and he's certainly just turned around the Spartan football program. But regardless of whether you're a Michigan fan or Michigan State fan, the health of the coach is, you know, the paramount issue. What's the word on D'Antonio? How is he doing? Is he going to be able to coach on Saturday?
So he's out of the, so as a brief background, you know, he had the heart attack, and then he was set to coach from the press box against Wisconsin last week, but last Thursday he actually was readmitted to the hospital because they found a blood clot in his leg, which I guess is, you know, that's always a serious issue, but I guess that it's a fairly common thing to happen after heart attacks like this. So he spent the weekend in the hospital. He watched the game from the hospital. He was released earlier this week, and he showed up at the press conference on Tuesday afternoon, you know, the weekly media session, and basically said that he planned on being in the press box on Saturday in Ann Arbor. Whether that's the smartest decision in the world, I mean, I think that that's between him and his doctor. It seems a little bit strange to me that he would be back at it, but, you know, given how tightly wound D'Antonio can be, it might actually be more stressful for him to be away from the field. So, you know, his health, I'm not a doctor. I'm not his doctor, so I'm not sure how much light I can shed on it other than it seems like, it, as far as heart attacks go, it was a relatively minor episode, and we do expect that he's going to be back in at full strength relatively soon.
Now, everybody came into the season thinking Michigan State was going to rely primarily on the pass, and with good reason, because, you know, Kirk Cousins is one of the best quarterbacks in the conference. But they've been remarkably balanced on offense this year, and it's been primarily with the help of their two halfbacks, Bell and Baker, who are both underclassmen, if I'm right. You'd said it was kind of a revelation that the running game was as good as it was. Did anybody see this coming? Did anybody think that they could really run the ball as effectively as they have this year?
I mean, I'll be the first to admit I didn't think that we'd be running the ball as well as we have this season so far. The week before the season when we were doing a whole bunch of posts previewing how we thought that the year was going to go, I had one post up saying that, you know, basically asking if we were how good people thought we were going to be on offense, and I kind of set 2,000 yards rushing on the season as, you know, whether people thought we would go over or under that. I personally was kind of skeptical that we were going to hit that mark, but after five games, we're already at over 1,100 yards rushing, so it seems that we're going to hit that mark pretty easily.
Yeah.
You say, you know, Baker and Bell have both been absolutely fantastic. Bell is a freshman, and nobody expected this out of him. He was pretty lightly recruited out of high school, and has just been far above and beyond anything that we could have expected. He's a very strong runner, very, very he's got fantastic balance. Baker is very fast. He's short and has a pretty low center of gravity and is able to break tackles. We also have a third running back who's also a sophomore, Larry Keeper, who was injured in the first two games of the season, but it really showed up in a big way in the fourth quarter against Wisconsin and gave us some fantastic plays. So it's really a three-headed monster at this point. The offensive line has been enormously improved and has really paved the way for all of this to happen. So, yeah, I didn't think it was going to be this good, but it, you know, the pass offense is still pretty good, and it's just a very balanced, good attack.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about some of the balance you guys had, specifically on that offensive line. Did you expect going in that this line would be as good as it's been through the first five games of the year? I mean, I know that a lot of people, the Big Ten Network, other Spartan bloggers, even, you know, the Detroit media, were very skeptical about the way the line was going to be able to perform this year, replacing some people. Now, who's been the biggest catalyst on that line to make it as good as it is?
Well, I think that the most important guy on the line is still Joel Farman, who is the left guard on the team, and he's just rock solid, game in and game out. But we have a couple of new starters on the line: J. Michael Dean and Chris McDonald on the right side of the line, who we were really worried about. Neither one of them had played all that much last season. We really questioned whether, you know, how well they were going to be able to perform. Both of them have been really, really very good. And DJ Young, who moved over to the left side of the line, has made that transition really seamlessly. Last year, I thought that our offensive line was very good in pass protection and was very poor at run blocking. This year, if anything, I think that they're probably not as strong in pass protection, but it's just kind of a marginal decrease in production on that level. But the run blocking, I think, is far and away better. That's really reflected in the statistics that we've met so far.
Now there's there are three underclassmen starting on the defensive line, and yet Michigan State's been awfully good against the run this year. They've been a little susceptible against the pass defensively, but is that kind of a function of the fact that you've got those three excellent linebackers behind them, or is this line really better than advertised?
I think that it's more the linebackers, to be totally honest with you. The defensive line, I think, is adequate. It's not one of the strongest parts of the team. They've had a lot of trouble getting to the quarterback. That's probably the weakest part of our team, the pass rush that we're able to get from the front four. But in terms of the rush, I think that they've been okay. Colin Neely and Jarrell Worthy have been able to make some good stops on the team. We've had some injuries at defensive tackle with Kevin Pickleman. He's been out with injuries a little bit. He should be back for this week. The defensive line against the rush has been okay. Mostly, I think it's our linebacker play. Brett Jones is all over the place and flies to the runner faster than any linebacker I've ever seen at Michigan State. So I think that that's the main thing. Running backs haven't had an incredibly difficult time getting through the defensive line, but by the time that they get to the linebackers, really they're just swallowed up there. So I think that's the main thing, just preventing them from getting into the secondary to turn 4-yard gains into 15-yard gains or something along those lines. And quite obviously, they're going to be tested in a big way this week.
Well, speaking of this coming week, you might have heard there's a game going on. And frankly, the marquee game of the weekend. You guys, like you said, the line hasn't been great. The linebacker's been spectacular. The pass defense has been adequate. But everything flows, especially for Michigan, through Denard Robinson. How do you guys plan to stop him?
Denard who?
He's this guy, plays quarterback. Kinda.
That's exactly how you'd stop him right there.
That's fine with me. You pretend that. Just pretend that way. That's fine.
Denard Robinson, not to get all Stuart Scott on the air, but like, we can't really stop him. We can only hope to contain him.
Do you have one eye that's trailing away right now?
Oh.
You're very, very creepily. Very, very creepily. enough center cliches. Denard Robinson is going to be a handful for any team that he plays this season. I certainly don't expect us to be the exception to that rule. I have to say, I think that we're probably a little bit better equipped to defend against him than most teams that Michigan has played, and better than any team that Michigan has played so far, just because of our strength with the linebackers.
Right.
I think that you could see Greg Jones spending a lot of the game just spying Robinson. And Jones is smart enough and disciplined enough and experienced enough where, he doesn't have the speed to keep up with Robinson, but he's relatively fast. And I think that if anybody has a chance at limiting his production, were not a bad choice. It's not unreasonable to think that we could be that team. Like I said, I think that the main problem with our defense has been the pass rush. And you mentioned that the secondary has been a problem. It was really terrible last year. But this year, I think that the secondary play has actually been pretty good. Our problems against the pass, I think, this year have been more in terms of not generating a pass rush. With an offense like Michigan, where they're not going to be going to, four-step drops, and you're not going to have a quarterback that's stationary in the pocket that you're trying to get pressure on and sack, I think that that mitigates the pass rush problems to some degree. So, you know, Michigan's a great offense, but in terms of the matchup with our defense, it's not as horrible as it might seem at first blush, I think. And that's one of the reasons why I'm not super optimistic about this weekend, but relatively so.
Now, you guys haven't had too much trouble putting points up on the board, but you put them up against teams like Western Michigan and Northern Colorado and Notre Dame, who are, you know, basically, you know, one double A's or something close to it. That's right, Notre Dame. Deal with it.
Particularly Notre Dame.
Yes. Does this team have the firepower to keep up with Michigan? Cause you're right. You're not going to be able to completely shut down the Michigan offense. You're also not going to have too much trouble getting through the Michigan defense. Is it?
Yeah, no. They're not going to have any problems putting points on the board. I'll answer that.
Can you put up enough, though, to keep up with what Robinson's sure to do? I guess is the question.
You know, I think that we do. I think that we have a better offense than Indiana does, and Indiana didn't have any problems putting up points against Michigan last week. It's just that Indiana couldn't stop Michigan's offense at all. I think that we can put up enough points. I think that if it turns out to be as much of a shootout as people think that it's going to be, I think that we can keep up. I think that we can keep up so long as the defense doesn't, you know, get gashed on every single possession. I think that we're going to be able to run the ball enough to set up play action, and Kirk Cousins is a really fantastic play action quarterback. And quite honestly, I don't think that Michigan's secondary has much of a chance of stopping that if we're able to get that going. But I have to tell you, just going by the history of this game, I'm not totally sure that this game is going to be nearly the shootout that people think that it's going to be. Last year, everybody thought that it was going to be just this wild game with gazillions of points, and it, you know, we ended up winning the game with a score in the 20s. So, you know, the defense has a way of coming out in this game a little bit more than you would think that it would be, just as it tends to be a fairly hard-nosed battle. But if it does end up being a shootout, yeah, I like our offense a lot this year. I think that we have the guns to keep up with Michigan, particularly just with how awful the Michigan defense has looked so far this season.
Yeah, I got no comeback on the Michigan defense aspect. I'm just going to move on from there. It's yeah.
Well, I just had to talk about the offense for like 5 minutes, so I can get my digs in where I can, I think.
Yeah, we're boned. I'm used to saying that out loud. It's just going to depend on whether or not the linebackers spike themselves or not. I'm not optimistic on Michigan's ability to stop the passing game. I think the run game, they'll actually do a decent job of slowing down, but I think Kirk Cousins is a very, very good quarterback, and he's going to get plenty of open opportunities to chuck the ball at medium range. Michigan's not going to give up the massive screw-ups that they gave up against Notre Dame. I think that issue's been taken care of. But I think the biggest change is that Michigan is now getting dinked and dunked to death, which is exactly what Indiana did. They kept going for, you know, 5 to 15-yard passes that were open, and I think that's exactly what Michigan State's going to do. And like you said, it's the question's going to be – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
No, go ahead.
Well, what I was thinking
what I was going to say is that Kirk Cousins has actually shown a pretty strong proficiency at, you know, the wide receiver screens and things like that this season. So if the coaches see that the object is going to be to gain yardage, you know, 10 to 15 yards at a time, I do think that our offense has the ability to do that. We're not a strictly, like, you know, Hail Mary all the time kind of offense.
I agree. I think you guys have a very competent quarterback, and I think you've got a couple of really great receivers. And the question just simply going to be is whether or not it turns into a, you know, a point-a-minute kind of game like we had against Indiana. And, yeah, you know, I honestly couldn't tell you how this one's going to come out. I think you're dead on. I think this is going to be one of those games where both defenses show up and kind of shock the hell out of everybody that they can actually stop somebody, because no one's giving Michigan State credit to the extent that they're going to be able to stop Robinson. No one's given Michigan credit to the extent that they're going to be able to stop anybody. And, you know, that's, and in both cases, it's probably warranted. But it's just one of those things where you're going to see two units come out on the field with chips on their shoulders. And, you know, it's going to be who makes that, you know, that big mistake or who makes that, misses that tackle. And if, you know, we're talking about missed tackles, I'm betting it's going to be my unit. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Well, and I'm looking forward to getting very, very drunk beforehand so that I can, you know, live through it.
Whatever happens will be easier to take either way.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I agree with you. I think that it really wouldn't surprise me if we ended up having a relatively low score in the first half, because I think that, yeah, I think that you're right. I think that both teams are going to come out with something to prove, particularly Michigan on defense. And I think that early in the game there's going to be a whole lot of emotion. And it really wouldn't surprise me if you know, the teams just kind of, for lack of a better word, feel each other out for a little bit. I think that the defenses are gonna keep things not ridiculous, at least for the first quarter of the game. But, you know, I could be completely wrong about this. Who really knows how this game is gonna turn out?
Well, I think Pat's putting money on it at some point, so we'll defer to him in a minute. But we've got plenty of good. We've got plenty of
good stuff. He's a better man than I is willing to take a stand on this game one way or another.
We've got plenty of good stuff on the Michigan-Michigan State game. There's a slew of other good games in the conference right now. And two teams that played last week and so, you know, tight games, Ohio State and Indiana, are meeting up. Terrell Pryor's got a banged-up quad and is not the normal Terrell Pryor. Indiana, I know you don't think that they're as good an offense as maybe their points indicate. I do. I think that's one of the best offenses in the conference. It's not named Michigan. How do you think that one's going to turn out? Do you think Indiana has a chance to pull an upset over an injured Terrell Pryor?
I'm very, very high on the Ohio State defense. Even after Illinois was able to get a little bit of momentum against them in the first half of the game last week, I think that Indiana is very good, and I do think that they're going to put up some yardage in this game. You know, just for because of repetition, if nothing else. I mean, they're going to be throwing the ball all the time, and so, you know, occasionally it's going to work. But I'm very, very high on Ohio State's defense. I think that they're going to make the plays they might bend a little bit, but I don't think that this Ohio State defense is going to break. I think that they're going to make the plays necessary to keep Indiana from running up big numbers on the scoreboard.
The other kind of interesting game of the weekend, once you take out the Michigan-Michigan State game, and Indiana-Ohio State, which I would agree is going to be relatively entertaining, if nothing else. Illinois-Penn State. Illinois looking slightly frisky last week. Pretty good on defense, not particularly great on offense, but, you know, Shieldhouse looks at least capable behind center. Penn State, with a freshman quarterback of their own, got nothing going against Iowa's defense. I don't even know if it's Alabama before. Will be favored in this game at home, though. LVS, how do you see this one shaking out?
I think that this might be one of the most boring games to watch. coming into this season, I thought that Illinois was going to be even worse than Minnesota. And they're not, and a lot of that has to do with Minnesota being beyond terrible. But, I think that Illinois is, I think that they're going to have a few conference wins this season. I think that Michael LeSueur is a legitimate Big Ten running back. I think that Shieldhouse, he's going to have he's going to have some growing pains. But, I agree with you when you say that he looks to be at least competent. I kind of have a little bit of a mental block about this game. I can't see Penn State losing. I think that Bolden is, I think that he's going to really improve after the performance last week. I think that he's kind of taken his lumps early, but the guy's really, really talented. And the other thing is that Evan Royster has been, you know, he's made a career of beating up on mediocre defenses and not showing up against good defenses. Well, you know, Illinois is a mediocre defense, so, you know, history would dictate that Blazers probably going to have a halfway decent game on Saturday, and I think that that should be enough for Penn State to win.
I think you're probably right. I am not convinced that Penn State's line is going to be able to open up anything for Royster, and I think that's 90% of the problem right now. Royster is a very good Big Ten back, but I never saw him as the pro prospect that a lot of people made him out to be, especially people who were the partisan faithful. But there is one more fun game, and I'm not going to talk about Minnesota-Wisconsin. I think that's just going to be a bloodbath. But
I'll talk about it.
No, I know you will. We got to talk about your next opponent, though. We got to talk about your next opponent, which is going to be Northwestern after Michigan. You guys have some crazy-ass games. I don't know what it is about the Cats that brings out the absolute best and the absolute worst in Michigan State. But there's a possibility, and I don't think you guys are going to beat Michigan, but there is a possibility that both of you can meet 6-0. And if that's the case, all bets off, Armageddon, what happens?
I have to say, I feel better about that game now than I did going into the season. I haven't watched, you know, I haven't watched Northwestern super closely this season, because quite honestly, a whole bunch of their game times have conflicted with Michigan State games. I know that Persa has looked pretty good, but it seems to me that his success has been much more of the, you know, like, well, sure, you can complete 80% of little 5-yard out passes. But, you know, I honestly, I think that Minnesota is bad enough. I have a tough time believing in any team that played Minnesota as close as they did last week. You know, Wake Forest like to talk about the cardiac cats all the time, and there may be something to that, but I don't think that I think that this is not a great football team, and I think that they're going to be exposed once they start playing better conference competition. And you know, it's on the road, but it's Northwestern, so there's probably going to be as many MSU fans, Northwestern fans in the crowd. And I like our chances in that game. I like our chances better than I did heading into the season. And preliminarily, I'm optimistic about it.
What do you think about that, Pat? I mean, you have paid the price for hubris with the Cats.
Could I just say that I really appreciate the fact that he said once they start playing better conference opposition on the week that they're playing Purdue, because they're our most hated rival, Purdue.
Purdue hate
they
week.
Suck. Purdue hate Purdue week. Hate week. Orville Redenbacher's terrible. I
thought he went to Indiana.
No, he's a Purdue grad. And as a loyal, faithful BHGP reader told me earlier this week, Orville Redenbacher graduated from Purdue in 1951 and has set the fashion trend ever since.
still
well,
the best
really
looking graduate
of Central
right.
Indiana. You have to give him that.
That's exactly right. I think LVS is probably right here. I think it's been nice for Northwestern at 5-0. We got some hot water from them a couple of years ago. We said they were the worst 5-0 team of all time. They're probably not the worst 5-0 team of all time right now. Okay.
Yeah. LSU.
Wow. Real LSU?
Ooh.
Wow.
Worst.
Tiger bait.
I don't know about that one.
No, the thing with Northwestern so far, and I think LVS is absolutely right about this. They've played some absolutely atrocious opposition so far this year. They haven't played a 1AA, which is a kind of
didn't they?
Surprise. No. No 1AAs. And they're not only that, but they are also the only team that has played 3 road games and is still 5-0.
Yeah.
But their total schedule is 8-16. They've played some pretty bad 1As, including the Rice Owls of Rice, and I think they had, well, they played Vandy. That was a total Nerd Bowl game. But yeah, I think you're right. I think
that's kind of their out of conference schedule and philosophy,
right?
Like Rice and Vanderbilt, and you know, I think that they would schedule Amherst College if they could.
Absolutely, It's a shame they didn't pick up Baylor this year, because as Kansas knows, Baylor would crush them. I think Michigan State probably handles them handily once the time comes, but you know, it's the price of playing Northwestern. The Northwestern really only does that to us anymore. I think you guys are probably going to be okay. LVS, the question I have for you is this. You said earlier that you think that this team has got the chops to contend for a Big Ten championship. Who do you think is going to be up there at the top with them at the end? Clearly Ohio State's one of them, but.
Yeah, and, you know, just for one of the major reasons why I think that we will be, if we win on Saturday, we'll be in position to at least make a run at, is because we don't play Ohio State this season. They're rotated off of MSU's schedule. And, you know, like Ohio State didn't look great last week, but I think they're the class of the conference. I think it's a gigantic advantage that we miss them this season. I think that... put a smile on your face. I think that Iowa is going to end up being just as good as everyone thought they were going to be. I was enormously impressed by that defense on Saturday night. I don't think that the offense has to be great for Iowa to win these games because, you know, honestly, in conference play, I don't know if I see anybody scoring more than 20 points against this Iowa team, and I don't know if I see many teams getting over, you know, 10 to 14 points against the Hawkeyes. I know that there are questions with Iowa in terms of the running back situation and, have to ward off the Sandy balls from returning, but that defense is so good. I don't see how they don't end up at near the top of the conference. And quite honestly, I'm not hugely optimistic about our game at Kinnick Stadium.
That's right, you.
Yeah. We can talk about that in 2 weeks. But
yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, don't worry. He'll barbecue you in 2 weeks, and you'll like it. You know, since we've covered, I think, the entire slate, and we've got enough information on the Michigan-Michigan State game for our listeners to have a pretty good idea of what's going on. It's your time. Put your sack out there and give us a final score on the Michigan-Michigan State game.
You know, I have to say, I like MSU in this game. And last year I didn't like MSU, and the year before that I didn't like MSU, and the year before that, times to infinity, I didn't like MSU in this game, and particularly when the games are in Ann Arbor, you can't feel good about it. But this team has passed every test it's faced this year so far with flying colors. I think that there's, you know, something about them. They've just been really impressive last week. I think that they showed a lot, and it's going to be a tough slog against Michigan, because Michigan is going to get yards and get points. But to be honest with you, when I look at this game, I see one complete team, and I see one team that's just, you know, that's not. And I think that in a four-quarter game, I like our chances. I will say Michigan State 38, Michigan, like... Michigan doesn't kick field goals, so we'll 38-35.
That's probably pretty accurate, to be honest. I think the over-under on this game is probably going to be around 60 points. And always take the over. Always after that Indiana game.
Dave, that would be 64.5.
Oh, my God. This is like the easiest bet of the week.
There you go, folks. And remember, don't gamble. It's bad for you. But LVS, man, thank you so much for joining us, man. It's been a real blast. And you know, if you when you see Coach D'Antonio, tell him to get better, but not that much better.
Thanks, Dave. I hope that your entire team contracts the plague.
Yeah, catch syphilis. Talk to you later.
See you guys later.